Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Halloween 2020 edition of Scary Cast. This is Dr. John Stamey, live from a beautiful, cool Myrtle Beach tonight. And we're going to have a great show. We've got a wonderful guest. We've got a couple of great hosts. First of all, from the middle of South Carolina, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, John. Glad to be here with everybody.
We're glad you're here with us. And from the coast of North Carolina, Emerald Isle, North Carolina, here he is, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, Papa?
Great to be here with you all. It's wonderful. It's blessed to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. We've got a really special guest tonight. He is the host of In the Room on the VOC Nation. And we've had him here one time before, and it was just an absolute blast. So here he is, the one and only Brady Hicks, the Ghost Hunter. Brady, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you, John. I'm very excited to be here and to talk with you guys. It's that time of the year, right? I'm loving it.
Glad you're here, Brady.
It really is. Well, now, first of all, why don't you tell everybody where you've just been? You were telling me a little bit about that in the green room, so tell everybody where you've been, and then we'll start the real show after you do that.
So I started doing the Instagram page, Brady Hicks Ghost Hunter, back in, like, February, and almost right away, a teacher of mine from high school, a really nice guy by the name of Tony, we're actually quite friendly, and he has been bugging me since February to come to his haunted house and just check it out and see if I could, like, find evidence of the paranormal there. So, now that things are finally starting to open up with the pandemic and I had an off night where I didn't have to work, I was like, you know what? Let's make this happen. So I went over there and I did a 2-hour investigation at my teacher's house. And I'm excited to see what the evidence is going to turn up. So far, all I can figure is a whole lot of dust and maybe some kitty litter, but we'll see.
Well, that sounds great. Yeah, for sure. Let us know and let us know what's
happening. Absolutely.
Happened. So now we had a lot of fun when we had you on the show a couple of months ago, and I figured tonight would be the perfect time for our Halloween show to talk with you and see what else is going on. Now, from what I understand, you and Robin do occasionally exchange some ghost pictures or some pictures that seem to have some type of paranormal activity in it. Is that happening?
He has some awesome pictures. He has some really good pictures.
I send some to Robin. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I
always enjoy your pictures, Brady.
Thank you. Listen, I have fun doing them, and I think it was you, Robin, who told me that, like, for some reason, all this paranormal stuff happens around me because there's something going on with me where they follow me. I don't know
it's
what
the
it
energy.
Is.
No, it's
I
the energy.
Guess.
Everybody
I
has
guess.
Everybody has different energy, but everything on this planet and outside of this planet is energy based, including our planet. But your energy is like a thumbprint. Okay, everybody's is different. When they know, and these things know your heart and your mind and your soul more than you do. And if you have that kind of energy and you have that kind of heart, it draws them to you.
Okay, kind of like when I go to the bar and a crazy person always finds me. Like that.
Yeah.
You're a supernatural party host.
Well, I'm drawn to you because, like, the Quits always tell me, they'll get hold of me and it'll be, just come outside, we just want to see you. And I'm like, why?
Wait, he tells you
like,
that?
Really? Well, the Quits tell me
that
all the time. The Bigfoots, I get that from them. I get it from the
Dogman.
I get it from the ETs. And I'm like, why? We just want to feel your energy. So, the bad ones I don't pay attention to, but the good ones I will. And they don't want anything. They just want to feel that energy. It's like you go outside when the sun's out because you get to feel the rays from the sun.
Okay.
It's the same thing for them. I mean, they have their own kind of what we would consider to be called infrasound, which is, it's not really what it is, but that's the closest thing we can determine to it. But then they also have their own energy on top of it. So they want to feel that from you. Some of them will draw it. You have to make sure it's the good ones, because the bad ones will pull it from you.
Yeah,
there are ways to block it if you don't want them to. But the thing you have to watch out, the good ones are drawn to it because it feels good. The bad ones are drawn to it because they want to stop it. They want to turn it bad. So that's when you learn how when you learn how to block it. You learn how to use your energy as a defense mechanism, which is anybody can do it. If I can do it, a trained monkey could do it if I can do it. So
this monkey needs to learn.
I will teach you. Okay. It's super easy. It's a matter of practicing, and once you practice it, you know, when you don't use it, you lose it. Once you practice it, it just gets more powerful and more powerful. I have a very dear, dear friend of mine that does work with me with the Bigfoots, and when we first started doing the whole energy thing, she was driving down the road with her husband, and her husband, thankfully, was the one driving, and I said, yeah, all you got to do is push it. So she went to go push it, and the car ahead of her started swerving all over the place. She'd stop pushing it, and the car would go straight. She tried. She said, it can't be me. So she tried to push it again, and the car's all over the place, and her husband, all the things on the dashboard are acting wonky. It was like, oh, dear Lord.
Wow.
So, I mean,
If you could, tell me about this dog man. Is that, like, what it sounds like? I used to date a dog man in college, I think, but I haven't really had a lot of experience with them.
There are a few different types. I don't think there are as many types as a lot of people out there, but doesn't mean I'm right. We have some that were genetically manufactured by our wonderful government, and those things are trained to kill. They just are. An actual dog man, an actual normal dog man, is, again, you know, it's a hybrid. We can only speculate what the crosses are there, but regardless, it's got canine in it. It's like a big, it's similar to a Bigfoot. I mean, it's bipedal. It can go on all fours. It can go on two legs.
Like a werewolf?
You know, yeah, I mean, it does look similar. I'm not going to lie. It does. It's not a werewolf, but it does look similar. I have not had problems with my guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Way back in 2012, I think it was, they actually helped me considerably. We had somebody that had decided in their warped little brains that if they kidnapped me and put me in a cage, the Bigfoot would come running to protect me. Fortunately, I found out about it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And the dog men and the Bigfoot were the reason that nothing happened to me. And they helped me. And they've helped me other times. We have one that stands guard out here along with the Bigfoot, and he's just, his name is Luicius, and he's just the sweetest, sweetest thing. You know, I had one night, you know, in the summertime, and I was just tired. I'd been up taking care of the animals all day long, and I was tired, and I had my pajamas on. It was like 8 o'clock at night, but the sun was still up because it was summer. And one of them, it was just a baby, and he said, come outside, come outside. And I said, I don't want to come outside. I'm laying down. I'm watching TV. I don't want to get up. I was being lazy. I was tired. And he's like, I'll let you take my picture. I said, now I know you're lying because none of you guys want your picture taken because it goes against your laws, and you guys all believe that it steals your soul. So don't even tell me that. And he's like, no, I promise. Yeah. I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to take a picture. If you're not in that picture, you don't talk to me anymore because now I consider you a liar and I refuse to talk to you. Oh, I promise. So I went out there. And normally what happens is when they're close, if you go outside, stand in a circle and take random pictures, all in a circle where you're not focused on them, if they are close, they will show up in it.
Okay.
There's a secret to getting pictures. Now, if you focus your camera lens on one, they can distort it because of the infrasound and the energy that they radiate. That's how it gets blurry.
I've had a
That's
few
why
of those.
Blurry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went outside on my deck because I was in my pajamas, and I just took random pictures. And he's talking to me the whole time, and he's like, I can see you. I'm up high in the tree. And I'm like, okay, and I'm taking pictures of the trees. I'll be darned if he was not in it. I got a perfectly clear picture of him.
Wow.
I was like, okay, then you can hang around because now that tells me you were being honest with me. He said, I just wanted to feel you. That's all I wanted was I wanted to feel you. And he was a baby. It wasn't an adult. Now, I've had the adults before come up in the yard. A couple of them when I was in Michigan would come up close to the house, and you could see the outline of them because they were cloaked, but you could see the whole outline of them. And they're just as massive as the Bigfoots are. People freak out
over
them.
I think I got one.
Yeah, you probably
do. I think I caught one.
What the main purpose of the dogmen is to watch the woods. They're kind of like the police of the woods. I had a very dear friend of mine years ago tell me about that. And she said, they're just the police of the woods. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. She said, that's why everything's afraid of it. She said, if you're sitting somewhere and a cop pulls up, aren't you going to kind of like just get real quiet and kind of stay away from them? And I said, yeah. She said, they're not any different.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that really makes sense for the behaviorisms that I saw. But in that same effect, in my group of foots that I had there, we had dogmen that ran with the Bigfoots. And I had one. In fact, I got a really clear picture of her. And I think that she probably interbred with one of the Sasquatch because she had a body that looked more Sasquatch, but her face looked more like a teddy bear, and yet she had the big bushy tail.
That's who I dated.
And she was with the Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
This is as sweet as can be. But we had three of the dogmen that were at the one house I was at, and they never gave me any trouble. They were always helpful. I moved over on the river at one point, and we had several that came through there, and they were not always nice. They had a bad energy about them, but they never once tried to hurt anybody. The only time that they ever really frightened anybody was my son had went for a walk, and he came back in, and he said, you know, where's my brother and my sister? And I said, well, they're in the house. Why? He says, don't let them out. He said, I walked down the road. I came back. He said, and there was a dogman out there, and it followed me back, and he said, I got the worst feeling from it. And I said, did it try to hurt you? Because now mom's going to go looking for it. And he's like, no, it never did. He said, it just made me very uncomfortable. And I said, okay, but they never, I've not had a bad experience with them. Knock on wood, doesn't mean I won't, but as of now, I never have. I'm respectful of them, and they're respectful of me. You know, I just have not had that situation. I know a lot of people that have absolutely been terrified of them. I've worked with many, many people that have seen them, and it terrified them down to their core, and they have PTSD because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, did it hurt you? Well, it was there, and it made a growling noise. They said, but did it try to hurt you? And it's very similar with the reaction you get from a lot of people. They're terrified the Bigfoots were there, and all of a sudden the Bigfoots are bad. And I'll say to them, did they hurt you? Well, they were there. They waved their arms at me, and they yelled at me. Okay, did they hurt you? Because if they want, and this happens with both the Bigfoots and the dogmen, if they want you dead, there's nowhere in Hell's Half Acre you can go. Your fate is sealed, you know. But a lot of times people run into them accidentally. Not always the case. I'm not going to say there aren't bad ones, because there are. But they run into them accidentally, and because they see them, all of a sudden they're bad and they're evil and they must be destroyed. No, you're out in their home and you just ran into them. They're letting you know they don't want you there. They would prefer you're not there. But if they have not made an effort to hurt you, you're not under attack. It's not any different than if you're sitting in your living room and someone walks through your front door that you don't know. You know, you wave at your arms, you yell at them, and they leave. And it's basically the same thing. So there's, you know, there's good and bad in everything. I tell people all the time when it comes to the Bigfoot and the dogmen, the good ones have the purest love that you will ever feel, because it's a much deeper love than what we, our humans, even know or understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they are kind and loving and giving. And they've saved my life now about 4 times. I'm being honest. But the bad ones are lethal. They've got enough paranormal abilities. They've got enough strength. And they are lethal. And they're not all nice. But you have to look at it in the perspective of our people aren't all nice either. We have murderers, rapists, pedophiles, schizophrenics.
Sure.
You name it, we have it. So it's not any more so with their people. And that includes the dogmen. I know a lot of people would not agree with me because they've dealt with mostly bad. Like if you go between the land and the lakes, anybody that goes there is just batshit crazy. Why would you go somewhere where they're cannibalistic and they just as soon kill you than look at you? You know, and I know people that go there and they're like, well, at least I'll get interaction. Okay, but do you want good interaction or bad interaction? Because the last I knew, the name of the game was the good interaction. And, yep, people will go there. It's called Land Between the Lakes. I think it's between Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah, it's in the southernmost part of Kentucky.
Yeah, they're known for killing people there. And yet people will go there because they just want to be able to get a glimpse of them. And it's like there's a reason they all cluster there, because they're dangerous. They don't want our people. They don't like our people. But yet they go out of their way to go in this secluded area to get away from us, and idiots go over there to see if they can find them. Like, and then, you know, if anything goes bad and people get killed. Yeah, and then people get hurt or killed or attacked, and they've killed many people over there. And they also, some of them are cannibalistic. I mind spoke to some of them. They're dangerous over there. And yet people keep going, but yet if anything happens, then everybody with guns goes out there to shoot them. And it's like they got away from everybody. We're the idiots going there to go after them. You know?
I guess it's not so easy as like, just bring them like dog treats or whatever. I guess it doesn't work like that.
And pray. Bring them a cow. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's good and bad in everything. And there are, yeah, there are some that are excessively dangerous. I mean, I would never say that they're not. But mm-hmm. that's not been my experience. I've been very fortunate.
I'm very curious now if I've caught some dogmen.
You'll definitely know. They've got the ears and the tail, and you know, I know a couple people that have said they've seen them without the tail, but anyone I've ever seen had tails.
Okay.
I don't think they're from Purina. Dog chow.
Probably not.
Hello?
But yeah, you get some really good pictures.
Yeah, no, it sounds it.
I always enjoy looking at your pictures.
Thank you. I enjoy sending them over. I this weekend actually I went to it's called Eastern State Penitentiary. It's a massive prison that they built. You know, 150 years ago, actually more, almost. I believe it was 1820 it opened, or 1829. So it's almost 200 years old. And I just took a bunch of pictures. I pretty much had free reign. And I caught at one point what I think looks like a prison guard. And I only say that because of, like, kind of what he's wearing. And, like, he doesn't really fit in with the people who happen to be around. And not only that, Robin, but, like, I noticed that a lot of my ghosts almost like look like they're black and white. I don't know if that's like a common thing or whatever, but he is definitely black and white, and everybody else around him is color.
Yeah.
It's strange.
It could be just the way they come through the spectrum. I mean, a ghost is basically an energy essence, and then they have to manifest into actual a form, you know, and now that you've said that, I haven't really seen any with a lot of color. I've seen them floating across my yard a couple different times, and I was out taking pictures of the Bigfoots one time. It was at night, and they were standing in the tree line, and I was taking pictures of the eye shine. And it was made out of smoke, and it was a soldier.
Wow.
Standing out there. And then I had fellow researcher come out, and he was doing those EVPs in my house, because I've always had spirits in my house. I don't know what time in my life I haven't. And there was a little girl there. I had seen her. I was on the bed one night watching TV, and I looked over, and she was sitting there, and she had her hands in front of her. She was like she was praying. Just adorable. And I'd seen her before dodging in and out of different rooms. And so my friend Joe came over, and he did an EVP, and she was talking on the EVP. It was really cute. She was talking about the cat. She thought the cat was really pretty, and she missed her mommy, which is probably why she hung around me, because I had kids at the time. But any time I've ever seen him, I mean, it's always been like a smoky haze that turns into a person.
Yeah.
You know, and when she was on the bed saying her prayers, she looked about 5 years old, and she had this old-fashioned nightgown on with a high collar and a ruffle that went down across her chest. And I was watching her. She was like, she was praying. And while she was doing it, and it was just instinctively, if I would have thought about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. I just kind of reached my hand out because I'm watching her. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me, and I said hi to her, and she looked at me. She put her hand up to her lips like she was telling me to be quiet because she was praying.
Oh,
and so I reached
my
hand out to touch her, and my hand went right through her, and it was like a smoky haze just went up and disappeared. It was pretty. It was really cool. But, I mean, she was literally sitting next to me. She was on her knees in the middle of my bed.
and
then
what
when
I need
Joe
to go
was
to
out,
sleep tonight.
Yeah, and when Joe was over doing the EVP readings, we had went outside afterwards because the Bigfoots were out. And where I lived at that time, we had a ton of them. And they never, I mean, they could cloak. I'd watch them cloak. I had one cloak a few feet from me, but they would walk around uncloaked most of the time. I mean, they were safe there, and they didn't have a care in the world. And he was out there, and he was trying to get some pictures of them. And he watched the silhouette of a woman in, like, an old-fashioned dress. He said it would have had to be, like, maybe the 1600s, 1700s, just free-float across my yard and go into the woods. He said she looked right at him and just kept right on floating into the woods.
Wow.
You know? And we've had a little girl and an older man here that we've had physical fightings. John's dealt with the little girl when
well,
he was here because
I'm
she
gonna, now,
run
Robin, I want to interrupt you because when I sleep upstairs in what we call the guest suite. That's where Igor would sleep. It has a nice bathroom and a bedroom. And there are times when I hear the biggest racket outside of my door. And I mean, it, you know, you say, it's the cats walking on this.
Not as loud as it gets sometimes.
No, it's like, and I don't really bother you, but I always make sure that the door is locked so that if somebody wants to come through the door, they're going to have to expend some energy. And I mean, it's, it normally happens about 4 to 5 in the morning, and it's kind of creepy.
It is. And by then the cats are out cold.
I know,
well,
and
we've
to be honest with you,
several people, you know, my upstairs has 3 bedrooms and 2 full bathrooms, and then it has like a rec room up there. And in the bedroom that John gets, it's a suite. It's got an ensuite bathroom. But then the other bathroom is in the hallway, and there's a bedroom directly across from it. And we've had people staying in that bedroom across from it, and their door, the handle would turn and open on its own. And then they could look across to the bathroom, and the same thing would happen there. The door, the knob would turn, and it just open up, and people, whatever went in. You know,
we've had several people
tell us that.
Robin, that's why I keep my bottle of vodka with me, because when that stuff happens, I have me about 3 drinks so that I can pass right out. I'm telling you, it is really scary.
It
I mean, what am I going to do?
Doesn't bother you? What? No, but it doesn't. See, like, it doesn't bother me anymore because this has been my whole life. I mean, since I was a kid, you know, when I was 3, 4 years old, I remember walking, got up one night, and it was almost Christmas, and I went up, my mom and dad's room was upstairs, and mine was on the main floor. I had to walk across the living room to get to the staircase, and I looked in by the Christmas tree, and there was this tall, thin man with dark, wavy hair and a mustache that was not a handlebar mustache, but it went down quite far, and he was in one of these night shirts that men used to wear eons ago. It was white with red pinstripe. And I could tell it was red, but it wasn't a bright red. It was like, it was dulled down, so it could have almost been a gray, but you would imagine it would have been red if you could have seen it. And I thought, it's Santa Claus, but he doesn't look anything like Santa Claus. So I'm just a kid, you know, I mean, I'm little. And I looked over at him, and he did the same thing that little girl did. I said, Santa, and he looked at me, and he went, shh. And he went back, he was messing with the bulbs on the tree. And he had one of those hats like they used to wear when they had the dressing gowns. And so I ran upstairs to get my mom, and they thought somebody broke into the house. They came downstairs, and, of course, he was gone then. But I was wide awake because I never went to sleep. So I'm at this point, I'm used to it. It doesn't freak me out. I'm sure there will be times that it will, but for the most part, it doesn't. And it's the same thing with the Bigfoot. I mean, I've seen him enough now where I get so curious about him that when I see him, I don't panic. The only time that it ever bothers me is if it's nighttime and I'm out and they come up behind me where I can't see them. Because they used to come up behind me and put their hand on my shoulder or pat my hair. Because I have really thick hair. I tell everybody I'm a Yeti. And they would pat my hair. And that would freak me out because I couldn't see him. If I can see him, I don't care. I'm okay. You know, but when you can't see anything and all of a sudden it's standing behind you and I could feel the pressure of them push their hand on my shoulder, but then you turn around and they're cloaked. And that would irritate me. It would make me really tense. I didn't freak out, but it would make me tense.
Well, here's one thing, Robin, and this is Dr. John. I want to ask you a question. We have a mutual friend down in Texas who's a wonderful person, and has lots of Bigfoot on her property.
Yeah.
And she took a picture, or two pictures, and it clearly, now this was at night, it clearly showed eye shine. And
right.
I know that humans do not have, in other words, known species of animals and humans do not tend to have eye shine. But
no, she's got foots all over there because I've talked to most of them.
I know, but I mean, do you have any clue what mechanism creates that eye shine? I don't.
You know,
I mean, she's a scientist too.
Well, I've heard from a couple different people, and I mean, I would never like say that I know definitively because I've heard different stories from different people, and none of them are ever the same. But it is like a reflective light, but they do have the ability to change the color of that reflective light. Like they don't, you know, like the deer, when you hit them with the headlights, you can see their eyes. The Bigfoots and the Dogmen, they don't have to have light to make it do that. They can automatically do it. And the colors that come off that eye, it reminds me of a mood ring. Red means they're either pissed off or scared. That's why you don't want to be around the red eye shine. White means calm and inquisitive, you know, and you just, there's a whole list of colors, but they can do that. And they don't have to have the light hit. I mean, I say reflective lighting, but it's not. I mean, they don't have to have a reflection to do it. They can turn it on and off at will. You know, I mean, I've heard people say, oh, they have this third eyelid, and but I've not seen any proof of that. That's just what I've been told. Whether it's true, I'm not going to say it's not true. I don't know. You know, I do know that they can, and I've had them outside where, you know, they'll have their red eyes, and then I'll start talking to them, and they realize, you know, that I'm okay. I'm not out there to hurt them. And then it'll go down to yellow and blue, and pretty soon it'll go white, and then they're all fine.
Well, it's
you
really
know?
Interesting.
But
whenever
I have
to go outside at your house at night, and you and you and Pat are in the bedroom with the dogs and everything, and I go out and I do feel a lot of anxiety. Papa Stroh has seen that, but then I just start talking to him. I say it's just me, and I'm going to the car, and I just talk to him
yep.
and tell him what I'm doing, and then all of a sudden, that anxiety seems to just go away.
Yeah, because they project their emotions onto you. That's why you hear a lot of people talk about the wall of fear. Okay? The wall of fear is a projection of emotion that they do on you for various reasons. They can do it to you because you're in an area they don't want you in, and so they want you to feel that fear so you leave on your own. Okay? And
okay.
The other is they can, if they are fearful, like I had a female one time, and she had her children out. They were little at the time. And we had a spot in our back property that had a lot of tall reeds at, and it was a lower part, and the water would pool there. And when she would come on the property to hunt, she would put her little, she had a little girl. She was just a baby. She was tiny. And she would put her in there in these reeds because there's water all around it, so less likely people are going to go there, and she would hunt on the property. Not a problem. And I had somebody over, and I said, he had come over with Igor, and I said, here's the rules. You go in the woods with me. I will introduce you. If you want to walk around, we can walk around all day, but you're not going out there by yourself because they don't know you, and I'm not going to have you get them scared. This is their place. Okay, you're in their home, so we go by their rules. Okay, and as soon as they turned my back, he took off out in the woods. And I was at home in the house, and he was setting a tent up in the backyard. I thought that's where he was, and all of a sudden, I felt the most intense fear. I mean, just like a panic attack, and I knew it wasn't mine, and I'm like, okay, who's upset? And she immediately started talking. She said, the man's back here, the baby's here. I said, okay, I'm headed out there. So I went out there, and sure enough, there he was, too close to the reeds. He did not know the baby was in there, but he was too close to it. So she projected her emotions onto me, so I knew how upset and anxious she was. And they can do that to anybody, okay? Anything they want, any feeling they want to project on you, they can. And they will do it for a variety of reasons, whether it's to let you know how they're feeling and you pick up their emotions. And because I'm empathetic and I am an empath, I can pick up everybody's emotions whether I want to or not. But they also will do it and project whatever emotion they want you to feel because it can help either bring them in that area. If they want you there, they can make you feel like that you need to go there. And it's not, it's a form of mind speak without words, but it will make you feel like, oh, I need to be in that spot. Like, I really need to be in that spot. Well, that's not your feelings. Those are projection from them. Or if they don't want you there, they're going to project fear in you. So you feel anxious and you feel fearful. So that in your mind, because you feel like that, you're like, I don't know why I don't like it here, but I know I'm leaving. And then nobody really realizes that it came from them.
Okay. Thank you. Very helpful.
Well, they did the other night, and I told John about this. John and I have a flower business. And I went out to the car because I had some of the things I needed for it out in the car. And I went out there to get it. And when I went out there, I have two dog kennels in the front yard for a couple of my foster dogs. And they love to get in the bushes right next to that kennel because they like to play with the dog. And when I went out, I heard them moving through the bushes, and I knew it was too big to be a squirrel, unless it was an 8-foot-tall squirrel. And I'm like, okay, you guys are doing whatever. And they've got my whole bushes gutted out in the middle like a tube. So I wasn't too worried about it. I go to the car, and I open the car door, and I'm looking in the car for whatever. And I feel one of them come up behind me. Like, you can feel if someone's standing behind you. It's because you're feeling the energy that that person radiates, and that's how you know somebody or something's behind you. So I turn around. Of course, you don't see anything. And I'm thinking, okay, we're playing a game. So I go back to getting looking in the car, and I can feel them, like, right behind me. Like, I swear I could feel the breath on the back of my neck. And I'm like, if you think you're coming up here to count coup on me, let me tell you something. Show your face, and you can touch all you want, but I hate it when you guys do it close because you can't see what they're going to do. I said, I'm staying out here until I find what I need, whether you like it or not. And so I could feel him back off a little bit. And then he came closer again. I said, I'm not kidding with you. And it got really quiet. You didn't even hear crickets outside. It was a riot. The dogs weren't barking anymore. They were dead quiet. Pretty soon I heard footsteps run over to the bushes again. And then you hear the bushes just something crashing through the bushes again. I was like, okay.
I will attest to that because when I was very old when I had my first Bigfoot experience, and that was last year up in North Georgia Mountains and in an interesting location near Clayton, Georgia. And when this thing started, you know, it slammed against the cabin that I was in, shook the cabin like you wouldn't believe. I tried to kick the cabin the next day, and all I did was hurt my foot. The cabin was thick and big. So what was really interesting, though, is when I heard the footsteps walking around the edge of the cabin coming toward the front door, because I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And what I realized is when the footsteps stopped about 2 feet from the door, I realized there was not a sound going on in the woods. I had never heard the woods in Lakemont, Georgia, be silent because, I mean, you know, it's just thick woods. And that probably scared me more than anything else, the dead silence of it. And, there you go. And then the next one was interesting and fun, actually. It's interesting to say that you have fun experiencing a Bigfoot, but your first one's terrifying. Your second one, well, that's kind of cool, you know, and you know what's going on. Yeah. Now that I've had that first experience, I know when something very odd goes on, just forget about it. It's a Bigfoot. They're saying hello. Because as I told Robin, if a Bigfoot walked up to me, like if one just walked right through my door right now and walked up to me, I would probably have a stroke. I would probably die from total sheer fear. But
the energy they radiate off balances you because it's not the same kind of energy we have, and it's excessively strong. I've had to tell them before when they've gotten close to me that you've got to pull it back. Like, you have to pull that energy back because it overpowers you.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, so you know, obviously if there's a Bigfoot around and wants to say hello to me, the Bigfoot's smart enough, not to just show me himself or herself and just walk up to me, it would terrify me. And so across the street, about 50 feet away from me, something about, I guess, 4 feet tall and 3 feet wide got propelled, got thrown up over a 50-foot-tall pine tree and came crashing down. And I realized at that moment that was their way of saying, hello, hey, we're here. I mean, you know, what way would you tell poor old John that is on blood pressure medicine anyway, hello, without scaring him to death? I mean, I don't think these cats want to scare me at all. But they just wanted to say, hey, yes, we really are here. And there it was. They threw something, part of a tree. It just launched it, went straight up over a 50-foot-tall pine tree. And I just said, hey, it's good to see you. I'll be back, you know, and just everything got quiet.
But that's a really
and it
good
got
point.
Quiet again.
Because, okay, they threw that over the pine tree at you, and you're sensible enough to know what the intention was. A lot of people, and I don't blame them for it because it's scary, would take that and say, oh, it attacked me. Well, the truth of the matter is, when they throw
it was
something
saying hello.
At you, yeah,
no,
they don't miss. Like, they don't
no,
miss.
They didn't.
There are no,
they weren't throwing it at me. They were throwing it up above a pine tree 50 feet away from me, or one of them was,
yeah.
And it was like,
and
it was very
but
obvious.
But that's the thing. Yeah, it's either, hey, we want you to know you're here, we're here, hi, or, hey, we want you to know we're here and you've gotten too close to where our comfort zone is, so please back off now. I mean, you're talking about something that knows our people try to kill them all the time. They're not going to come up and say, oh, by the way, hey, you, could you back up a little bit? It doesn't work that way. And so they will do things so that you know you've gone as far as you need to be going, or you're now into their comfort zone, so you need to kindly back out of it. You know, and
well,
when they throw
I just
something.
Got the, yeah.
When
I,
they
I just,
throw
I just
something,
got the feeling it was hello. It was hello. Is
yeah,
all
and
was.
That's their mind speak. And they let you do. They project what feeling they want you to have from it. So you knew what it was.
And I,
you know,
and I
people
need to
just
wave
need to
and
understand that
back.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're mean. Yeah.
No. Well, no. I mean, it was just.
No.
But I knew not to go over there and examine what was thrown over the tree. I knew not to do that.
Yeah.
That was not anything I cared to do. But yeah, it was
right.
Really interesting, and it got to the interesting stage, not to the frightening stage. It was kind of cool. So I went and said my goodbyes and I left. I figured, well. They've shown me that they're here. I mean, what else can I ask for? So, you know.
Yeah.
So,
we
Betty,
had a freak
that's
show
what
going
will
on.
Happen to you when you start having mind speak and when you start communicating, because you will.
Yeah. We had a complete freak show going on here 3 weeks ago. We had a foot back. We had foots back there. I saw the ears of a dogman back there, and I went out there and I just started snapping pictures to see what popped up. I had ETs in it. I had stuff popping up in pictures. I don't even know what in the world was going on back there. But they were back there. Nobody was fighting. Everybody was getting along. I didn't pick up any bad vibes from anybody. And they weren't bothering the dogs. The dogs were, like, flipping out. But they were all wagging their tails at them. That was the thing. The dogs weren't afraid. They were all in one corner of the yard inside the fence because they wanted to be where they were at, and they were all wagging their tails and barking like crazy, but they were happy. So I knew that nothing bad was going out there, and you could see just different bodies moving all over through the woods. I mean, they did this on and off for a couple of days. They were back there, and you know, all of a sudden you'd see this 30-foot pine tree that's out in the middle of the woods just shake like crazy. But yet none of the other trees were shaking, and there was no wind out, so it wasn't like the wind was blowing it. It was just a riot. I called Pat at work, and I'm like, we got one heck of a party going on back there in the woods. Like, I don't know. I was afraid to put the mini pigs out and the dogs, but they've never bothered them. I've been very lucky. They have never tried to hurt my mini pigs, ever. And they've never bothered the dogs. I have mini pigs, miniature pigs.
Like teacup pigs?
Yeah. Yeah, because
wow.
My one is supposed to be a teacup. And she was overfed before I got her, so she's much bigger than she's supposed to. But, yeah, they have never bothered them. I've been very lucky. I don't leave them out overnight. My pigs are actually house pigs. But when I open the rescue and everything, we have a 2.5-car garage that's attached to the house. And so we moved all their litter train, moved their litter box and their beds and everything and put it out there. We put a kennel up for them. And they have air conditioning and they have heating out there because my pigs are so spoiled they couldn't handle regular weather. And they've never been out in precipitation. And so they go out, you know, during the day, and if it gets too hot, they come in, or too cold. But they'll go out during the day and play, and then they come in their beds at night. They have a radio out there and stuff, so they're quite happy. But they have never, ever bothered my pigs. And one time, Elliot, which is a little black pig I have, he loves to break out of the fencing. That is his highlight of his life, is to break out so he can stand on the outside and look and oink at me and say, look what I did. And he normally gets out, and then he runs back to the front of the garage and waits for me to open the garage door, and he'll come back in the garage. And about a year or so ago, probably about almost a year and a half now, he got out, and I looked out in the backyard, and Elliot's not there. And I'm like, okay, he's done it again. And I go to the garage door, and he's not out there. And he'd never left the yard before, just never left the yard. I'm calling. I can't find him anywhere. I was so upset. I was almost in tears. And so I got hold of one of the foots that he's just the best thing ever. I've had him in my life. I've been fortunate since about 2009. And I told him, I said, you guys got to find him. You have to find him. You know, we got coyotes, we've got cougars, we've got everything out there. He's not dinner. Like, nobody better be touching him. He's like, don't worry, we'll find him. I said, okay. So pretty soon, about a half hour later, I see him trotting up with his butts on fire, coming out of the woods, and he runs to the front of the garage. I go out there to let him in, and they had put a ground structure up for him that means welcome and an arrow where to go in the garage at. And I said, what did you guys do? And they said, we wanted to make sure he knew where to go home to. But I was so touched, and I took pictures of it. They put it right, like a ground, an X, a small X on the ground is a welcome sign.
The dog man?
A large, no, the Bigfoot did it. A large X upright, yeah, a large X being upright means stay out, and they are not kidding around. When they say stay out, you stay out. And they had put a small X on the ground and then an arrow with a stick pointing to where to go in the garage at. So they went and they got him back. They brought my cats back. I had one cat that got out, and I watched him walk right in a portal. He disappeared right in front of my eyes. He was gone for almost a week. I was hysterical. Because I don't let my cats outside. My cats are house cats. I have too damn many of them because I have exotics too, but I don't let them out. And he had snuck out the door, and I went to go get him, and he put his head up, and like he was coming to me, put his head up like somebody called him. And he turned around, and he just ran, and he ran right under this one section where the Bigfoot's going in and out of all the time. And I watched him go in and just evaporate in front of my eyes. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, so... we've got portals all over around here. I've got a bunch of pictures of them. And so I came in the house, and we hunted for that cat. My husband went all over the woods, all over looking for him for almost a full week and couldn't find him. And one day he came back out of that thing just like he went in and came right back to the house. You know,
wow.
I mean.
I didn't realize that living, breathing things could go through the portals.
Yeah, I had a German Shepherd that did that in Michigan. I watched her run into the backyard. And she had jumped the fence because she was always jumping out of her fence. And I saw her, and I wasn't so much mad she has jumped it as much as she went into this one spot that I had suspected was a portal for quite some time because of the energy that was with it. But I had not seen anything come in and out of it. I'd seen things in the backyard, but I hadn't seen it coming in and out of that one. And I watched her go in it, and she literally just disappeared, and she was gone 2.5 hours. And then I was sitting there waiting, and she popped right back out. It's not made for our bodies. That's the thing. I've been through one portal, and it was very fleeting. It was very short. I went in, and then I was right out where they needed me to be. And I had to go back through it to get back. But it was very, very quick. It was not, I mean, like in a blink of an eye. But they've tried to get me to get in portals before. And I always said to them, I'm a mom, I have kids, I have grandkids, is it safe? And every time they tell me the same thing, it's not meant for your three-dimensional bodies. We can't promise you you'll stay safe. We're not going to tell you you won't, but we can't promise that you will because they aren't made for us. You know,
yeah.
I know several people that have gone into them before, but they're just not made for us.
What does it look like when you go inside it? Is it like the upside down?
No, I mean, I think it would be different for everybody depending on what they went into. In my case, it was a matter of they were trying to show me where they actually live at. And this was 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I hiked like 3 miles into the deepest woods I've ever been in. And I got to the spot and where they wanted me to go, and I couldn't penetrate the woods. It was that thick. And they said, just come up to the bush, just come up to the bush. And I said, I can come up to the bushes, but I can't get in it. And they said, just come to the bush. So I got up close to it, and it was like a blink of an eye, and I saw a lot of gray, swirly stuff, and then I was out. And I was inside these woods, and it was like a tunnel that went around them, and you could tell the deer were running through the tunnel. But I walked down through the tunnel, and I found where their nest was, where they slept at. It was massive. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I crack up because people say, oh, look at these teepees. This is where they live. No, it's not. Those are temporary shelters that they hide out in to watch people, to hunt, whatever, for whatever reason they want. That is not where they live. And there's a lot of people that have seen the places that they live, and they know this as well. I mean, those little teepees are not their homes. And as far as a permanent home, they will make one, you know, for a temporary shelter, but that's not their actual home. And so I was there for a short time before I had to leave. And they said, just go up to the bush. I said, well, what's it? I mean, I didn't know at the time. This was many years ago. I didn't realize it was a portal. They just told me to go up next to the bush. And as soon as I got far enough into it, it was like a vacuum. And I was right out the other side.
Okay.
All right. I've got a question for the three of you. I just learned something. And maybe the big pitch just gave me this piece of knowledge. Okay, but think about deer hunting season. Rob, tell them, what is the purpose of deer hunting season?
You really asked me that question? Oh, my God. What do you think it
means?
Do you
hunt, Rob?
I know. I used to hunt. I know a lot of hunters. But
the purpose, as far as I know, is to deplete the population, correct?
Well,
that's why we have a deer season.
It describes itself, you know.
Right. Okay. So, if you think about it, we have hunters all over the woods, and they never seem to see a bunch of deer hanging out, smoking a joint or whatever. I mean. That's a Gary Larson. That's a Far Side cartoon. But you know they never see. You know you never seem to see that. So where are the deer? Obviously they're inside of portals. They just vanish into portals. then they may come back out. But just if you think about it, we don't see all the animals. We just don't ever encounter all the animals that are in the forest.
No,
we
don't.
There are millions.
It's like a big game of hide and go seek, basically.
Right, and yeah. They're in portals, and it just occurred, or maybe I was just given this piece of knowledge, but the reason we don't see them is they're in portals. I mean, they're just
impossible.
Not all.
I mean, I don't ever say anything is impossible. I've seen too much.
But what I'm saying is it just occurred to me, maybe this was a thought that was given to me. I'll ask our friend in Texas who I'm going to call after this conversation. But that's the whole deal. I mean, why do you think we don't see ghosts all the time? All the time is they're in portals. They're inside of portals doing whatever they do inside of portals. So, I mean, it's just...
Well, they move between dimensions, yeah.
Yeah, well, dimensions and portals, it's kind of all the same. So, Brady,
do you think they go to the bathroom in portal potties?
You know that's a topic I really never thought about, but that's okay. Maybe they do. But really and truly, we don't see nearly all the animals that are out there. We don't. So I mean, you know, whatever. That was just the thought that came barreling down into
yeah. Like where do birds go when it rains? They probably go to like portals to get away from it.
And they're all singing the car
very well.
Why do birds sing in the rain?
I think that a lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of these portals, you don't even know they're there. And I know, you know, they don't even know they're there, and they're walking into it. You know, yeah. I know people that have literally went up and put their hand in one, not knowing it was there, and watched their hand disappear, and then pull their hand back and their hand's there again because, it, you know, they did it. You know, I have a picture of a portal off that was outside my garage, believe it or not, in the, right by the bushes, and I've got a picture of this portal, and there's a head coming out of it.
Yeah. I remember I showed you the one, Robin, that I took in New Jersey. It looked like a giant condom, but there was, like, something coming out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you see an upset hunter, you'll know what happens. They're playing with the portals again.
Well, there's been a ton of hunters that they get a deer, and then they follow that blood trail to go get it. And then they go to get it, and the deer's gone. I mean, it just vanished because the Bigfoots have grabbed it and either gone into a portal with it or just gotten the heck out of Dodge and took off with it. A very dear friend of mine, him and his brother were hunting one time, and they had shot a deer, and they followed the blood trail, and then all of a sudden the blood trail was just gone. It was like it evaporated, and they heard... I thought he said he heard a growl of some kind, and he looked up, and here's this big Bigfoot with a deer over his shoulder.
He said that blame it on the Bigfoot. He did it.
And his brother started to pull up his gun, and my friend's like, it won't do any good, just put the gun down. So he put the gun down, and the Bigfoot just stared at him, grunted, and then turned around, and he was gone. And they never really saw where all he went. He was there 1 minute and gone the next. But there's a lot of hunters that have those experiences where the deer are taken, you know, they'll shoot the deer and then the Bigfoots take it.
Makes their life easy. They don't have to go do the hunting.
I think there was a Bigfoot that used to steal golf balls from me all the time.
Not
like
possible.
Caddyshack? Like the gopher and Caddyshack?
Very mischievous. Yeah,
They love. Well, they love to play pranks. They have got a wicked sense of humor. They took my kids' football and their basketball one time, and I found the football out in the woods, and it looked like somebody had taken their hand and just squeezed it and deflated the whole thing like you would with the paper cup.
Wow.
That's what that football looked like. And then the basketball, it looked like they tried to bite it like out of an apple.
Wow. So, I know you said, like, all beings kind of, there's good and there's bad. Are there bad Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
Are there Bigfoot that people want to stay away from?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're not any different than us. And anything, I mean, any type of a being, whether it's an ET, whether it's a dogman, whether it's a Bigfoot, it doesn't matter. The cosmic balance is good and evil. It just is. Mm-hmm. You can't have one without the other. And you can't blame an entire species of beings, whether it's human or otherwise, and say that they're all good or they're all bad, because it just doesn't work that way. I mean, I've had many, many, many ET encounters, and they're not all bad. Have I dealt with some that are bad? Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, first abduction, I was 4 years old, you know, and so there are good and bad, but there is good and bad in everything, and people need to realize that, you know, not these Bigfoots don't want to be your best buddy, okay? If they choose you to communicate with and have contact with and habituate with, that's great. But you play by their rules, not yours, because you don't get a say, you know?
Sure.
And I think that there's a lot of them that are kind-hearted. I know they've saved my life 4 times, and of which I'm extremely grateful, and I try to return the favor to them. But that doesn't mean they're all like that. I've gone up against really bad ones that were trying to kill people. You know, I've gone up against aggressive ones. But a lot of them, they stay away from everybody because they don't want to be bothered. And then you get our people who, oh, I've got to see it. I've got to look for it. And you go into these areas with all these clear markings of giant X's telling you you're not wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then people disregard it, and they go into their territory anyway. And they do everything that they ask them not to do, and things go bad.
So
but there are some that are just bad.
They create giant X's to let people know not to go there?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I never heard that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
giant,
like trees
massive. Yeah, absolutely. And they're huge. They're these giant X's. You'll see them in the woods, and they'll take trees and logs and make these gigantic X's upright. And that's a territory or marker. That means don't pass through here. Do not come here. Don't pass. Go. Don't get $200. Get the hell out.
Wow.
And
okay.
You would be amazed how people don't respect it, and they just keep on going. Now, they went, myself, and I told my neighbor about the Bigfoots because I knew, because I was here, she was going to have an encounter one way or another, and she did. She's had them coming in and out of her yard because they were passing through and coming over here. And fortunately, I told her, you don't get guns out. You know, the ones here are not trying to be aggressive. You don't want to start that war. And so she didn't. And while she doesn't see them often, you know, she hears them, and she has had three or four sightings, and they've never bothered her. But I've always told them, you know, I want this property protected, and I want her property protected. She's a very, very dear woman, and she lives alone. And I said, I don't want anybody to harm her. And they said, okay. And if you go to the back corner of her property, there's a giant upright X there saying not to come into that property. If you go over to the very far corner of my back property, there's yet another giant X there saying not to come in here.
Wow.
You know, I mean, they'll stake it out where they don't want you. It's when people, there are some that are just bad, and they're going to be mean, and they're going to be bad, and they're going to be crabby just because that's who they are. But
okay.
A lot of them, they do give you subtle signs. You know, if you hear them yelling at you, if they hear, you hear them throwing things at you or throwing a rock, that means get out. You're not where you're supposed to be. You're too close for their comfort. Their kids could be there. Their families could be there. They could be hunting. They could be doing a ritual. They could be teaching the kids. There's a million things they could be doing. And you're not welcome there. And if they're going to hit you with something, they do not miss. So if you're having a rock thrown at you and it's landing near you but it's not physically hitting you, they're being kind.
Yeah.
They're telling you the only way they know how, while protecting themselves where you can't pull a gun on them, that's not where you're supposed to be. You need to go. But you get these people that keep pushing it. And the ones that are bad are lethal. There is nothing in between. And you keep poking and pushing and poking and pushing, you're going to come up missing. Because they don't play games. The ones that are bad, there are different groups that are, and this isn't all the bad ones, but there are a few groups out there that are cannibalistic. They go old school ways into cannibalism. And there's not a lot of those. But there's some that do exist, you know, and the bad ones are bad. Like, you have no idea how bad they can be. Primarily, they're good at heart. Primarily, they don't want to fight with us. They just want to be left alone and live their lives.
Right, okay.
But, like with our people, the majority of our humans are nice and decent. And then we have that small sector that, you know, they'll blow your brains out for looking at them. And it's just not any different than them. And people are like, you know, they're all bad and they're evil and they're demonic. Number one, they're not demonic. If you're demonic, you come from hell. You come from the underworld. They don't. They're not demonic. Are some of them complete and total jerks and dangerous? Absolutely. So are our people.
Yeah.
But there's more of them that are kind, that are loving. They aren't going to be up in your face, but they just want to live their life, and they're perfectly happy to live alongside of you. But it's a mutual respect. It's like I've been very fortunate. You know, have I dealt with aggressive ones? Yeah, but I've never had to deal with them at my property. I have respect for them. They have respect for me. You know, it's not always, you know, unicorns and rainbows, but, you know, like I've had youngsters getting up on my roof and dancing around on my roof and plowing around on my roof all night long, to the point where I had to go out there and raise hell because I thought they were going to go through it.
Kids
but,
today.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I had at one point the house I was in. I have a stick-built house now, but I had a manufactured house. They tore the skirting all off around there because they'd like to go under it, and they'd knock up on the floor, and then I'd knock back, and it was a game. And they did a lot of damage. They weren't trying to do damage. They're a human. They are part human. They're uncivilized. Because their culture is not ours.
Huh.
Got it, Brady?
I think so.
This is
just when I thought I had it figured out.
Yeah, welcome to Bigfoot 101. Yeah, the world is not what you think.
No, we have no clue what all is out in those woods. There are so many cryptids out there that are not identified yet, and people are seeing them more and more. And Brady, I'm sure you've probably encountered some of them where you just don't know what in the heck they are.
I have never seen anything in person. It's always been in pictures after the fact.
Yeah, because they cloak.
But, yeah, but, I mean, aside from, like, okay, I see something out of the corner of my eye and snap a quick
mm-hmm.
picture, but, you know, I've never, you know, communicated or anything. I've never really had that feeling like something is there, really, so... You know, aside
well,
from just randomly taking a lot of pictures. I'm sorry?
What's been your favorite experience you've had?
My favorite experience? Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. Okay, there's... In Cape May, New Jersey, there is this house... It's actually a bed and breakfast, and I've always kind of not publicized it just because, you know, I want the owners to, like, I think the owners are kind of averse to, like, talking about it. But any time I've ever gone there and investigated or any time I've even just walked by and taken pictures, I've always gotten something on the porch. It's an amazing experience to know that you can go somewhere and take pictures, and I mean, I'm talking full body apparitions just about every time I've taken a picture there,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy to think about. At least for
yeah,
most
I think
people,
that's
you know?
Great.
It's that probably, and that really mostly it was kind of this summer that I kind of discovered that. So I would say that probably has been my best experience with it so far. Is like. Knowing that I have the sweet spot where I can go and, like,
yeah.
there's always going to be something going on there.
Now, don't give me exact locations, but, like, what area do you go to with the Bigfoot?
With the Bigfoot? That has all been in the Pine Barrens mostly, although there was one that I caught in a cemetery in Philadelphia. But other than that, it's all been the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. Sorry?
Mm-hmm. They are drawn to cemeteries.
Well, Brady, I would like to share something with you about the Pine Barrens of New Jersey that I have that I have found out. There are two kinds of lizard men. There are the 8 to 9 foot tall ones, and there are the 3 to 4 foot tall ones. And I have seen many drawings of the New Jersey Devil. Drawings from newspapers back in the 1800s and everything. That is the small lizard man that you've got up there. That's not anything else. That's the small lizard man, because I've seen pictures of it. And it looks just like a lizard man, and so I think it's very interesting. They've given it its own name, the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
It's actually it's the smaller version of the lizard man.
I had always thought it was just assumed that it was some sort of a Bigfoot that people were seeing. For a while, I actually thought that it might be Rat Boy, who's a frequent caller, and he lives in Trenton, so I assume like that. But no, I don't think it was Rat Boy, because Rat Boy can't fly. That would be the only reason. Can lizard men fly?
Not to my knowledge, but I'm not going to say either way.
They can disappear into a portal. As far as I know, that's about it.
Yeah.
I know they cloak because I had that one in my backyard and I got a picture of it. And I never saw them until I took the picture and I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm actually Googling lizard man because I'm picturing like Reptar from Rugrats, and I think the owl.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not what I pictured. Wow. Okay.
Brady, I tell you what. When my book gets out on Friday, I've got an interview Friday night I want to get your address, and I want to send you a copy, an autographed copy of the Lizard Man Companion.
Tremendous. Thank you.
And you may find out some things that you weren't ready to. For some reason, and Robin will tell you, there's some of the lizards, most lizard men are not good, but there's some of them over there that like me. And in fact, when I'm driving on the interstate and I see a sign that says Bishopville Highway 15, all of a sudden I have this idea in my head, oh my God, we got to have a Lizard Man Festival. I mean, there's no way that I could have come up with that thought. You know, I'm driving back mm-hmm. from putting together the first Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and Maestro's up there with me, and you know, we never thought about any of that. And I'm driving past, says Bishopville 15. Oh my God, we don't have a Lizard Man Festival. And so 7 months later, we had a Lizard Man Festival. We've had three, and we're going to have another one. And if the next one is going to be at the Barnyard Flea Market in Lexington, South Carolina. They can't wait to have it. They're loving this. So I mean, you know, it's very interesting where you can get mind speak. Because I know for a fact now that I've co-authored this little pamphlet. If you go to Mindspeak 101, Brady, and put your email, your name and your email in, you'll get to download a copy of Mindspeak 101, and it'll teach you all about it. Mindspeak101.com. Yeah. Just go there and, you know, put your name and address. It comes to me, so don't worry about it. And you can get a PDF, and it'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, you know,
wouldn't it be something if you weren't actually saying a word and you were conveying all that via MindSpeak, and I heard it and no one else did?
It happens. Pat and I have done that before.
Really?
Yeah, he was at the house one day, and it was when we were just dating, and he left to go home, and my daughter and I were sitting at home, and he called me, and he said, I just heard you and Kate talking. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, you said such and such and such. And I'm like, we absolutely did. And him and I have done it back and forth to each other. Not a lot, but we've definitely done it back and forth to each other.
Wow. That's wild.
I've done it before
between myself and a friend of mine in Texas.
We did this 1,000 years ago. We were able to. And that's how we communicated. That's how we communicated over long distances. But now that we've got our mantle of civilization over us, we don't do it. A lot of people don't do it, but, you know. And there's also a little thing called STICK, STICK. You might want to take a look at that, Brady, in the MindSpeak, in the little MindSpeak thing. It's really pretty interesting. So that's a little primer for you. And everybody else, just go to MindSpeak101.com and put your name and address in there. We won't bother you, and we hope you will enjoy our little book.
Is there a social media for MindSpeak? Like instead of having Facebook, where you can just like kind of join a social network of MindSpeak and people can interact that way?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think that's safe. I don't think it's. I've had several people ask me to teach them how to MindSpeak. And yeah. I decided that I did not want them to know that they may be a little too dangerous or a little too crazy to start being able to pick up vibes like that. And
I hear you,
that
brother.
That was my. In fact, one of them used to be a frequent caller on your show, Brady.
Really?
Yeah. Yes,
well,
and
also,
I elected when
well, also,
that person's. Send me a text and wanted to know
this,
it. I said, no.
Does his name rhyme with Salcom? Okay.
He can probably do it. He can.
I'm sure he can. He's already got voices in his head.
Yeah, that's the deal. The voices in your head thing. That is a form of mind speak, and it's like mind speak gone wild.
Is that what schizophrenia is? Mind speak gone wild?
That's what I think. I've discussed that with two doctors that understand this stuff and don't look down upon it. And that's what they agree with me too. And I can tell you what gets rid of it. Steroids.
Really?
Gets rid of it.
If it does,
hmm.
There you go. Everybody in the world, steroids will get rid of schizophrenia. You watch. Try it. I'm not an MD doctor, but that's what we think. Yeah.
Well, you've never seen Vince McMahon with... Yeah.
When you mind speak, the other problem is you may be mind speaking with whatever, whether it's a ghost, which is just as easy to do. I've been talking to ghosts since I was little. But a
mm-hmm.
ghost, a dog, and a Bigfoot, an ET, whatever, another person. Understand that unless you're really good at it where you can block it so nothing else can hear, it's like putting it out for everybody. Everything can tap into your mind. Everything
like a speakerphone kind of. Yeah.
It is. So you have to be really careful. You have to be careful what you say. You have to be careful who's listening to what you say.
You don't want to check your bank account while you're doing this.
No.
I gotcha.
Well, you don't even need to check your bank account. You can just tune in and get the number. You don't even have to.
That's true.
You don't even have to go online. You just tune in and get the number. That's all you have to do. It works more times than not for me.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Anyway. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Now, Maestro, do you have any questions about any of this? You've been quiet and listening, and you've heard a lot of stuff from me and from Robin. Do you have any questions about any of this cool-ass stuff? This is cool stuff, I think.
I'm all out of words. You all pretty much said it all.
Okay.
I gotta say, another cool experience. You know, we were talking about cool experiences. I visited historic Independence Hall downtown Philadelphia this last weekend, not this past, but the weekend before, and you know, just taking pictures around there. I actually captured, and I can't quite explain it, but it looks to me just like Abraham Lincoln looking out the window at me. Now, I don't know. He didn't die there, obviously, and his body was briefly kind of laid to rest there, you know, or put on display, I should say, and he also delivered a famous address from there. There'd be no other reason I would think of that Abraham Lincoln would be at Independence Hall, but it's so clear and so vivid, and like, I don't know. I wonder sometimes, like, do ghosts always have to have a reason to be at a place, or can they just feel like being there? Do you know what I mean?
Robin, I'll defer to you.
I couldn't hear all of it. It blanked out. I'm sorry.
Can you repeat it? That's okay. Sure.
Well,
I took a picture at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, you know, where the Declaration of Independence was signed.
Yeah.
And it's very clear to me and other people, without me having told them, that it's Abraham Lincoln looking out the window at me.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all.
It surprised me because aside from delivering an address and briefly, like, when his body went on tour, you know, after he was killed, there'd be no reason for him to be there. Like, do ghosts just kind of go where they want? I always thought they had to, like, have some sort of a connection to a place to haunt it.
This is my own personal belief. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I can't say it's officially this, that, or the other thing. But I will say this. I think that they can go pretty much wherever they want to go. Now, I think there may be some situations that they don't know how to leave from that because it takes a lot of energy for them to go between realms and planes. But, you know, it's like with the little girl that was at my house. No little girl ever lived on that property. I did the research. And yet there she was.
Okay, yeah.
I went and I worked at a bed and breakfast one time. I was an assistant manager there. And I was in that house 2 seconds, and there was a little girl that was a ghost that was there and talking to me and carrying on and running all over the place. And then I later found out that the people that owned the bed and breakfast, before, you know, years ago, it was Al Capone. explained what I encountered in the basement there. But
yeah.
The records never indicated that a little girl ever passed away there. And again, there she was. And I think I have a very, very dear friend of mine, and her husband passed away less than a year ago. He's still at their house. But yet we went out to lunch today, and she was saying something, and he started mind-speaking immediately. He talks to myself, and he talks to Pat all the time to give her messages. She was looking for the title for their boat because she was going to sell it. She's like, I can't find it. So that's how we found out, you know, where the title's at. But, you know, for years when I was little, I was always led to believe, you know, if they're out here, they're earthbound for some reason. But I don't believe that to be the case anymore. You know, what I've noticed and what I've watched is they can travel if they want to. It does take an extreme amount of energy for them to do it. So I don't think when they're first have passed, it takes a while for them to learn how to do it. It's like with my girlfriend's husband. When he first passed and I started talking to him, he showed me a picture of himself. I'd never seen the man. I've only known her. I met her mm-hmm. shortly after he passed. I had no idea what he looked like. I could describe him to a T, including his favorite clothing. You know, and
wow.
She was like blown away. And I said, well, this is what he looks like. And we were in the car one day and I'm like, he's determined that you have to show me his picture. Like, he is just having a fit about it. And she said, well, that's odd, because she said, she was driving at the time. She said, all of a sudden I had this powerful, powerful urge to show you his picture. We weren't even discussing him. She said, I don't even know where that came from. I said, it came from him. Show me the picture. And I said, you're going to show me a picture and he's going to look like da, 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 da. And she said, oh my God. She hands me the picture. It's the same guy that was showing me the picture of him in my mind.
Wow.
You know, and he couldn't really get out and do a whole lot, and he was very weak when he would speak, even to me or to Pat in the beginning, but he's now had more time, and he knows how to move the energy to be able to do it, and now he pops up all over the place. I just don't believe in my heart of hearts that they're stuck in any certain place. If they are, it's because maybe they don't know that they can go, or maybe there's an essence or something there that's stopping them from leaving. But I don't think it's that they can't, because I've had, you know, my grandmother passed away years ago, and I was the closest person to her.
Yeah.
And I've lived in three different houses, and she's shown up at all of them.
Wow.
So I think obviously they are able to. And the ghost we have here, like this old man, I don't know where he came from. And the little girl said that she didn't know him, that they didn't come here together, but yet they're here.
Yeah.
You know, I think they pretty much come and go and do whatever they want to do. But it takes a lot of energy for them to do a lot of it. And I don't think in the beginning they actually really know how to move the energy and use the energy to do it.
Now, that
you know,
makes
like
a
I
lot
was at work
sense.
One.
Yeah.
Well, I was at work one day and we were all sitting in an office talking. It was before the day started. And a coffee cup in front of all these people just went from one side of the desk to the other. Everybody is freaking out, jumping out, diving out of the office room. I'm just sitting there, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, didn't you see that? I said, yeah, I saw it. Well, how could you be sitting in there? I said, it moved a coffee cup. It didn't come at me with an axe. Like, what?
Yeah.
Jump and take off. It doesn't faze me anymore. You know, I've watched stuff move in my house. But it does take them a lot of energy to move it.
It is amazing when you're when you're open to the idea and, you know, really kind of receptive to receiving transmissions,
mm-hmm.
it's not upsetting. It's almost comforting in a way.
Well, the thing is you know, that there's always been a saying that said seeing is believing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most people have heard that. It's incorrect. You have to reverse it. Believing is seeing, because once you believe that these things are possible, you will start noticing everything. So much goes on in our world, and we're completely blinded to it because we have had it beaten into our brains that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, for all of the land of the free, no, this is a land of mind control. We've been told what is real and what isn't, and it's not based on facts. And so once you quit looking to see something and you start believing it and understanding these things are there, you will literally train your head and your mind and your eyes to actually see what is really out in front of you. You know, it's like
okay.
my friend whose husband passed away. She thought it was the coolest thing in the world, you know, that I talked to the Bigfoot and that I've had dealings with ETs and stuff. And now, because she's been around me enough, she's like, and she's open to all of it and she's receptive all about it. She's had an ET show up at her house, which it wasn't one of the good ones, unfortunately. But she's seeing, you know, what she would have normally not noticed. There's Bigfoot prints all over her backyard. The other day she had her rugs on the fence and they took off with one of her rugs. But, I mean, she's seeing the signs now. She's listening for it. You know, I've taught her that, you know what, you may not be able to hear him crystal clear, but he is there and he is trying to connect with you. And she's not able to do it yet a lot, but she's getting it because her mind is open to it. So now when it happens and he does try to mind speak her, he does try to give her an image in her mind, a picture or an emotion or whatever, now she knows what to look for and it's working. She's like, I never knew any of this existed. She said, I just find it fascinating. She said, now, you know, I'm seeing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you look out in my yard and, you know, you see a body part going across the yard because they're like in mid-cloak. It's very disconcerting to look out in my front yard and see an arm or a leg going across the front yard. You know, and it's like, okay, completely cover up or uncloak. You know, pick one.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it's just about opening your mind to it. And if you want things to be receptive to you, on your end of the stick, you've got to be open to being receptive.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I can remember when I was younger, and I think a lot of the reason why people are afraid of this stuff is because they don't feel like they have any control over it, you know, what they see or what they hear. And that really, I mean, obviously there are cases where they don't have control over it, but by and large, they're the ones who decide, you know, what they're going to see and what they're going to hear, and to a certain extent even when.
Yeah. I think to a degree you're right.
It became a whole lot less scary for me.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It really is. It's almost like learning a new way to like think.
It is. It's learning to accept the real reality. You have to program your mind. You have to program your eyes. You have to program your heart. It is. It's new and it's different. And in my case, it's a little bit different because I've never known anything different. Okay, this has been going on for me since right after I was born, as far back as I can remember. But for a lot of people that I've worked with, they do. They have to condition themselves of what's there. And then when you ask them, say, have you ever seen this, this, or this? And they're like, well, yeah, but I just thought I was seeing things because that's what we've been told it is. And I'm like, no. You know, in the dreams that you're having, no, that's real. Dream state can be every bit as real as when you're awake. You can get hurt in it. I've had broken bones done to me during dream state.
Oh, my goodness.
Fighting with various things. Yeah, go to the hospital with a broken arm when, you know, you got your arm broken during dream state. Like, I remember the exact second and how it happened. I woke up screaming bloody murder and I had a broken arm. And then you go to the hospital, it's like, what are you telling? Oh, I fell. You know, I fell down a flight of stairs. Because they're not going to believe you. I wake up, Pat woke up one time with a busted lip. I wake up with bruises and marks and cuts. And I mean, it's ridiculous. But
I had an ex that used to have scratches all down her arms all the time.
Absolutely. And it's all real. It's whatever. Yeah, it's from what goes on in dream state.
Sorry, who did you say had those scratches on them?
An ex. Actually, somebody that I'm still friends with, but we dated for a few years.
Just somebody, okay, yeah, just somebody you knew.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
But dream state
is
a real thing.
It's crazy, yeah.
It is, and you can get just as hurt in dream state as you can being awake.
Hmm.
It's two different planes, that's all it is.
You know what's funny? In dream state, about 3 nights ago, there's somebody that I just met. Just it's someone in business. And I realized I saw myself going to visit their house in like the teens. And apparently I was their older cousin.
came to meet him.
Oh, that's cool.
And I stayed at their house and became the guy became kind of like my little brother. And it was very weird. The next conversation I had with this fella was all different. It was an all different conversation. And he called me for 3 days in a row and just talking about personal stuff that didn't have anything to do with business or whatever. It's like he got the same, it's like he must have gotten the same dream that I had. It's like I met a relative.
Yeah.
In dream state. And now it's like, it's just very strange. So, yes, dream state, things do happen. I have lucid dreams anytime I go to sleep. Anytime I go to sleep. And all that. And that's why
Did you have to condition yourself to lucid dream? I've always wanted to kind of try that.
Okay, there's a chapter in a book I'll send you. It's Edgar Cayce on dreams. And it will teach you. It's about a 10-page chapter. I'll copy it and I'll just PDF it and email it to you. You'll be surprised.
I just assumed I wasn't like mentally strong enough to do it because I've tried in the past. You know.
You don't have to try. You just it's a very simple little exercise.
Okay.
Well, actually, I can just go ahead and tell you right now in 30 seconds. All you have to do is. Sleep with a light on so that you have some light, and sleep with a notepad beside you and a pencil. And as soon as you wake up,
okay.
So you know we wake up throughout the night, just write down what your dreams were. And all of a sudden, within about a week or so, you'll start having lucid dreams because you're training your mind to be receptive to what's going on. That's all it is. Done. Done.
Okay.
Lesson's over. But you have to do it, Brady.
Well, that's cool. You actually have to write this stuff down.
Yeah, and have a pencil and piece of paper and write it down, and then you'll start remembering your dreams. And once you start remembering, you'll see that you actually lucid dream all the time. It's a matter of learning to remember them, but you do it all the time. But just saying, just grunting and saying, oh, I want to do it, and I won't do it. No. And,
I mean, I definitely have had instances where I lucid dream. You know, I just thought it would be cool to actually you know, be able to turn that on or off.
That's all you have to do. Now, by the way, I hate to tell everybody this. We have 3 minutes left in what I would call one of the most interesting scary casts we've ever had. Brady, even though you're going for bigger, better, and crazier things, can we have you back?
Oh, I would love it. I would love nothing less. Yeah, absolutely. And we're not headed for better. Well, we might be headed for better. No, I'm only kidding. I'm very excited about VOC Nation and this opportunity with AdvertiseCast. We'll have to see how it pans out, but definitely, you know, I have your guy call my agent. We'll do it.
I'll call you, Brady. I'll just call you. I know you well enough. I can call my agent. So I want to say thank you to everybody. We got time for plugs. We'll run over a minute, but I don't care. Papa Stro, what have you got to plug? Because you're one of the busiest people in the world. What have you got to plug for us?
Well, In the Room with Brady Hicks, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. Thursday night, WCW Retro, hosted by yours truly, Papa Stro, and special interview with Lucha Libre star La Flecha Ugaz. Looking forward to that. And then Friday night on my sci-fi horror show, The Stro Zone, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, at 12 to midnight, we'll be featuring The Lost Boys. Please tune in. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is a really great film. People may laugh about it and say it was a kid film with some kid stars. The plot is incredible in The Lost Boys. And it does follow one very important thing about vampires and how they can come into your house. So that's great. Well, that's wonderful, Papa Stro. We look forward to you and Dorothy on Stro the Maestro, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I want to watch the Lost Boys. I'll have to check that out. Robin, what have you got to plug?
Same thing I always plug. We have an animal rescue called Furry Foots and Critters, and we have a lot of animals right now, cats, puppies, you name it, we have it. We get a lot of them that are abused. We get a lot of them that were feral. And so we plug that. I will say this, as of today, we have placed 15 animals into permanent forever homes in the last 7.5 weeks. So I'm very, very thankful to all those wonderful new parents that took our fur babies.
That's great. Dogs and cats.
Yes.
Maybe any dog men?
Lots of them.
Maybe
the dog men just kind of stick around.
Do dog men adopt dogs, though?
You know, I'll be honest with you, the Bigfoots and the dogmen do. They will get foxes, they'll get wolves, they'll get strays, whatever. And it's not any different than we have dogs as pets, so do they. And you'll see them running with the Bigfoot.
I've encountered it all at this point, and I got to say, living in the city of Philadelphia, I think the hipster is the scariest monster of all.
All right. So, Brady, what have you got to plug?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Be sure to check out In the Room on VOCNation.com. And again, Dr. John, it was nothing personal with that. It was just an exclusivity thing with that contract. Everybody be sure to check out In the Room and VOCNation.com. And don't forget, if you're up for it, go to Instagram.com/BradyHicksGhostHunter. And you'll be able to check out all my pictures as well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Brady.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll be in touch on Messenger. I got lots of pictures to send you.
Wonderful.
All right. And Brady, I hope that sometime soon I can come on there and talk about my new project, which I think is going to be the most wonderful thing I've ever done, which is the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame. We've got some great people we're going to be inducting next year. In fact, I've got a meeting with one who happens to be coming into town. Yeah, they're all A-listers. This is the real thing, and I've had some nice positive comments from friends. One of them who's on here, and I won't mention his name, but a lot of folks like the idea of being able to really honor those that have given us great entertainment all of our lives, and some of them can't because they're tied up with WCW. WWE. With WWE. They're tied up with WWE and can't do it. But, you know, there are a lot that aren't. And just going around searching, and I'm finding a lot of great stars that are really interested in becoming part of this way of being honored, and, you know, we'll be having some events around the Carolinas, and we might even try another state or two before it's all over. So I'd like to come on once I get everything kind of put together. I'll give you a call and say, could I please be on In the Room? And hopefully you'll have me.
Yes, please. Let's definitely set it up.
Okay, great. Well, look, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Papa Stroh. Thanks, Robin McCray. Thanks, Brady Hicks, Ghost Hunter. And I'm just glad I made it through the night. So we'll talk to everybody sooner than later. Thanks a lot, and we'll see everybody
soon. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodles.